Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to hear was a message that I wanted to preach at a major conference, but it became so important that I felt like I needed to go ahead and get the word out now. This is called the prophetic harbinger of the coming water shortage. I could also call this the water wars. I found out from some individuals who are in the now with what is happening around the world that one of the next wars will be over food and the water supply. When I say one of the next wars, we're talking about wars that will happen globally. Now, I'm going to prove this to you from the book of Revelation. I'm going to give you several scriptures. They're going to come up on the screen. And there's going to be, you know, when I teach these things now, I'm trying to get at the end toward practical information to help you. So please remember, this is just not some prophetic message. This is some things we hope will help you. In the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters, that's a third worldwide, became wormwood, and many died because of the waters, because they were made bitter. That word wormwood, it actually is found in the Old Testament as well, in the Hebrew, and it's a bitterness. It's really, really extremely bitter. So there was a star that came. This would have been an asteroid. When it struck, it polluted a third of the water supply. In the 16th chapter of Revelation, verses 3 and 4, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became as blood. Now here we have one where water is becoming bitter. Here we have a second illustration of what is going to happen. This actually will happen in the tribulation period, where on the sea, things begin to die in the sea and they become like blood. And you can actually find pictures where this is actually taking place, not the vial being poured out or the living things in the sea dying, but where the rivers have actually turned reddish in color in certain areas. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, when this dries up and the Euphrates, which starts in, you know, Turkey-Armenia area, and it goes for about 17 to 1800 miles south and empties into the Persian Gulf, that whole riverway has been an agricultural miracle to supply water to the nations. The Syria, Turkey, Lebanon, you have especially the area of Iraq, all of that strip of land, and also you have the Tigris River on the other side. And if those rivers dry up, it creates this huge, massive famine that is spoken of, by the way, in the book of Revelation chapter 6, that affects 1/4 of the earth, which would be all the people living in that part of the world. Now, what I'm going to share with you is very, very important. It is a fact that you can survive without eating for up to 40 days. How do we know that? Jesus fasted 40 days, Elijah 40, Moses 40. Moses fasted 40 twice. The second one was totally supernatural, by the way. But the fact is that you cannot go without water for about 3 days. In fact, it's dangerous to go without water during 3 days, but at 3 days, you start totally dehydrating, and eventually your body will shut down. My father was in Life Care Centers here in Cleveland, Tennessee, that did a wonderful job. For 15 days, he could neither eat nor drink. He chewed on ice. Then he kind of went to where he couldn't take anything because there were blockages in him. And so I watched him not drink any water at all for days. And, of course, he passed away in a 15-day period. So you can go without food for a period of time, but you cannot go without water. So water is going to be very important. Now, what you may not realize, and this is very important, I'm going to have to go to my notes when I share this with you, but several years ago, we had a drought here that affected the entire area of the city of Atlanta, because the city of Atlanta is one of those major cities that was not built around a river. Louisville, Kentucky has rivers. Cincinnati has rivers. You have so many cities that have been built around rivers, and they did that because of the early shipping, that they could ship their goods and their coal and their timber out on barges on the river. Mississippi is still a great barge carrying river. Now, Atlanta was so, there had not been rain for so long that the entire area, including Lake Lanier, where the water supply comes from, was drying up. I drove by there on my way to an Israel trip in November. I couldn't believe it. All the docks were just bare. You could see all the dirt or the mud or whatever, and the lake was just disappearing. A friend of mine who knew the mayor of Atlanta said that at that time, the mayor said, if in 90 days we don't get a divine miracle of water, I'm going to have to figure out how to move 5 million people out of Atlanta to other places in the United States. It hadn't rained for months. And then they met on the steps. I'm not sure if it was the courthouse or where it was, but they met on the steps and had a prayer meeting, and it started raining right after that. So God had mercy on the great state of Georgia and the great city of Atlanta, which we're very close to. But there have been things that have happened in the United States. California has been in drought. Nevada has been in droughts. Water has been very low in these areas. So we can see that if a drought comes, how it really can impact. In fact, 7 states were affected until they got rain in Nevada and Arizona and those particular states. Now, there's a very strange scripture in Amos chapter 4, 7 through 8 that I want to put on the screen, where the Lord says this, I have withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city, but I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. And the Lord said, yet you have not returned unto me. So we see here, and this is a very prophetic verse, and I'm not going to get into the prophetic implications, the spiritual prophetic implications of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit here, because it has great implications in this verse. But I will tell you that continents like Africa, many, many parts of the Middle East have difficulty finding what we call good drinking water because of numerous different problems. Now, there will come somewhere in the future. Now, I understand this. Let me just say this. You understand what I'm about to say because I want you to get this. I am a person that believes that Jesus is coming. I'm a person that still believes in the doctrine of the catching away of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Timing is where people disagree. Is it before the tribulation, the middle, or the end? We're not going to get into the argument of that, but I will tell you that in Revelation 11, which is mid-trib, we are at a judgment. In Revelation chapter 5, the multitude is praising God for redeeming them by the blood of the Lamb. That's the very first part of the tribulation. So I lean more of pre-trib. Now, having said that, let me just say that some of the verses that I've shared with you from the book of Revelation happen in the early part of the first 3.5 years of tribulation, and the other part happens after the middle toward the end. So a lot of the real serious asteroids, falling stars, meteorites, and things that's going to happen will happen during the time known as the Great Tribulation. However, there are things that can happen now, especially in the Middle East. Now stay with me here. In the country of Turkey, it's a very large nation with millions of people. Turkey has 5 dams in which they can control the flow of the Euphrates River. Now, the Euphrates River has been low for quite some time, and we know prophetically in the 16th chapter of Revelation that the Euphrates River will dry up to the point that entire armies are going to be able to march across dry ground to head toward the Middle East in the Battle of Armageddon. We also know that with Pakistan and India, that they have had a war, not actual physical war, but yes, war, with believing that water was being stolen by each one, that each nation needs its own irrigation, but water is being taken. China and the Mekong area have been in a battle because they believe that China is taking too much water from them. The U.S. and Mexico has squabbled over the Rio Grande River and also the Colorado River, as the water basins there. Tennessee and Georgia had a real big battle going on when the drought took place, because Georgia was claiming that some of the Tennessee waterway originally belonged to Georgia and they wanted it. And of course, that was all settled, thankfully. We don't need any trouble between us two states, except in sports. You know, there's a lot of strife during sports season, college football and NFL, I guess. I don't know. But we don't need anything like that going on in our good states. Now, here's the thing prophetically, because we are talking about prophetically how all this fits in. Israel's water supply is very necessary for Israel's survival. Now, what they have done, they have four plants. I have a hard time pronouncing that word. All of you all are going to pronounce it, but it's the plants where they take the salt out of the seawater and they make it drinkable. So they have four plants in Israel. I'm laughing at myself. There's four plants in Israel. If I wasn't doing a program, I could pronounce it like it's that. Anyway, these plants, since 2005, they take 80% of the water that they get and they put it in the plants and take the salt out of it, and it becomes drinkable, usable water. And they get that from the Mediterranean Ocean. Now, when it comes to the water in Israel itself, now this is important that you hear this prophetically. There's northern water. The northern water comes off of Mount Hermon, which is a snow-capped mountain. And when it begins to melt, the snow begins to melt, it rushes down the mountain and it comes into Caesarea Philippi. There are places in Caesarea Philippi where water comes out from under the ground. There's Tel Dan. They have some great water supplies in the northern part of Israel, up in the area we know as the Golan Heights. Now, the controversy there is that Syria controlled the Golan Heights until the 1967 war, and they have been wanting that land back. Now, I'm going to tell you, they're not going to get it back, but they've been wanting that land back. But Israel can't give it up because of the water necessary for the nation to survive. Then we find out that the Jordan River, which flows out of Tel Dan and comes all the way down from the Sea of Galilee, actually it starts in the Golan Heights. It comes around the Sea of Galilee, comes out of the Sea of Galilee all the way south into the Dead Sea. The Jordan River is used by Israel and the country of Jordan to irrigate their farms. That water is absolutely necessary. And by the way, Jordan is a wonderful nation. I want to brag on all of our friends in the country of Jordan. You guys are great people. We really do appreciate the Jordanian government and the Jordanian people and the king there. But they have good relations with Israel when it comes to the water and when it comes to the food that is grown by both, etc. But they have to have the water to do that. So there's that issue as well. If the Jordan River were to go dry or huge drought hit, it does affect. And Israel's had droughts, by the way, recently, the past couple of years. There's also a southern water source. Now, this is important about this southern water source because this southern water, it's almost a tongue twister. Southern water source is in the area near Jericho. And there is a spring in Jericho. It's an oasis. But if you go outside of the spring, there is a massive amount of underground water that's in what's called the Arava area, which is on the Israeli side, of course. But it's also in the Jericho area as well, from Jericho down toward Qumran. That water has been discovered. Now, where does that water come from? It's underground, but a lot of times when it rains in the winter, the water pours down and some of that water gets underground, etc. So there is water there. This is how they are able to do drip irrigation in Israel and in parts of the West Bank too. And they're able to grow the grapes and the palms, beautiful palm trees. Oh my goodness. And the dates that grow on those palm trees are absolutely incredible. I'm actually hungry for some right now. I need somebody from that part of the world to give me some dates. I love the dates that come out of that part of the world. Anyway, I shouldn't even have said that. I'm just joking with you. But I do like the dates, by the way. So here's the issues that's happening within Israel. When you talk about the water in the Golan Heights, Syria believes that they have the rights to that because that was originally the country of Syria before the 67 war. When it comes to the water of Jericho, there's another situation because Jericho is considered to be part of the West Bank or part of what is called the Palestinian territories. Therefore, they feel that they should have the total rights to the water. Now, if you take away the Jericho water and the underground aquifers there, if you take away the Golan Heights water supplies, and Israel can't just depend on the Mediterranean because the Mediterranean is several hours from the Galilee where a lot of the farms are. And you'd have to pipe all that water all the way in, which is millions and millions of dollars. So they use the water that's already there. So it would create a lot of difficulty. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say. The reason that I'm sharing that with you right now about the nation of Israel is because when you begin to look at that part of the world and you look at the Euphrates River being the connections with Lebanon, Syria, and I'm talking about agriculturally, Lebanon and then Syria and Iraq, and you have Afghanistan on the other side, Pakistan, you got all those countries that are going to depend on those rivers. Now, if those rivers go away, where do they get their water? That's the question. So in the War of Gog of Magog, which many people are talking about, which involves Persia, God says, I will put a hook in your jaw. Now, what do you do with your mouth? You drink water with your mouth and you eat with your mouth. So apparently at some point, and I want you to keep an eye on this prophetically, kind of put it on the back burner of your mind, if I can say it that way, somewhere prophetically there will come some type of a crisis of food that will come all throughout the Middle Eastern nations. And some of this is already prophesied in the apocalyptic scriptures and in the Old Testament as well. And so what happens is there will be water wars. There will be a necessity. I mean, it's looked especially in the tribulation. The water gets bitter, one-third of the water, one-third of the rivers, one-third of the fountains of the deep. Water becomes bloody. Life is taken because of it. This is going to happen. So the war is going to be over the ability to make food, because do you have the water to be able to make the food to feed your people? This is why I believe there is, in the early apocalypse, on those seals, that sealed book, you know, you have the book of seven seals. When you see that, you see that there's going to be a famine and there's going to be rationing of bread and food. And that's the reason why. Because once the water supply becomes polluted a certain way with a certain level, then it's not drinkable. And what that means is the animals can't drink it. So the animals have no water. So this is real important for you to understand. Now, how does all of this affect the United States? Well, we have a breadbasket in the United States. We have Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas. We have a lot of corn being grown in Texas. And so the California, the West Coast is huge with that. And so what happens is this. America's challenges may not be with a water supply, because we could do certain things. We could use the plants on the ocean and in the south and on the east coast and take the salt out if necessary. It takes years to build them, by the way, I think, a complete one. But we could do that. But the problem that we have are not just earthquakes that would cut off the bridges and the roads to states that would deliver food from our breadbasket. But you have the New Madrid fault line, which is, you know, it's been shaking a little bit recently, nothing large at this point, knock on wood, but it had seven earthquakes the other day that were under, I think, under three. If that happens and that New Madrid goes, it affects the Mississippi River, affects the barges, affects the bridge, affects the railroad. So that's where our problems in the states come in. Not that there's not enough fresh water, but how do you transport the basic water? How do you deal with the plants that are down because of the earthquake? How do you deal with the water treatments plants, the sewage treatment plants? These are things that, you know, I guess the common person doesn't sit around thinking about that. I guess I do, because of the prophetic teaching of what I see in scriptures and keeping up with the times. The biggest thing in the United States is the volcanic activity, where the volcanic ash, if a volcano like Mount St. Helens explodes and the ash comes to the farming territory, it covers the ground and it just chokes out everything. And of course, you and I know that the Yellowstone is a super volcano, and that could be one of the areas where some of this is going to take place in the very near future. Now, the thing that we have to look at, especially as it relates to biblical prophecy, is a verse I'm going to read about Persia. I was talking about this, but let me give you the verse. Ezekiel 38, 4 through 6. God says this to Persia and to the armies involved in the Gog of Magog war. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them, and it goes on to say, many people with you. So he puts hooks in the jaws. So he brings them down, then turns them back, and they come later. And I have no way, let's see, I have no doubt, let me say it that way, that when you look at Isaiah 27 and 6, this is how it happens. He, God, shall cause them of Jacob, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Israel can grow 95% of its own food without help from anybody and without any imports. And then they can ship all this food out. They grow so much of it. Some places they can grow it twice a year with a drip irrigation system. So that part of the world, which is Israel, has great agriculture, banana trees, avocados. I mean, I don't want to just date trees. It's just, it's amazing. It is the land of milk and honey. It's the land of milk and money because of the agriculture. But my point is, because they have the water, they have the land, they have the food, they're in these other nations where there's a wheat rust going on or there's food shortages, they see the idea of saying, hey, if we can take the land, we can get the food. And I do believe that this war that will come eventually will be over food and water because of what we read in the scriptures. Okay, so I wanted to give you that verse and make you aware of that. Now, the thing that we know, my grandfather, Granddad Stone, lived outside of Davie, West Virginia, and they had water that came off of a spring on a mountain, and every day he went out there and took a bucket. Some of you remember this if you're from the mountains, and he would get water, and we would take a dipper, aluminum dipper, and that's how we would drink. Everybody would kind of drink out of the same thing. I didn't like that. I'd get my own glass of water. But that's how we were. We had wells when we were kids growing up, not everywhere. But if you had a farm, you definitely had a well of water. Sometimes the wells would go dry, and that was a situation you had to deal with. There are properties that we know of. Some of them have three wells on the property in limestone with water so cold you could actually bottle it if you needed to. So in this situation, you don't need to panic. You don't need to go crazy. But always understand where you have water, where you have water supplies, where you have backup water. Because when you see a hurricane or an earthquake, you see, what are the first thing they bring in? They bring in water. Asheville, North Carolina, they bring in water. People have to have water to survive. Boy, I wish I had more time to share with you. I was going to give you some practical stuff, but my time is up. An offer for a limited time is up. Watch this right now, please.
Are you ready to unlock profound prophetic insights and explore the mysteries of God's divine plan? Harry Stone invites you to dive into an extraordinary teaching resource that unravels ancient truths, spiritual warfare strategies, and end-time revelations. Introducing a dynamic collection of audio teachings designed to equip and inspire believers in this prophetic season. This powerful prophetic resource features three insightful audio CD sets, plus a bonus CD packed with surprising revelations about the rapture. The first teaching of the two CD set is titled The Battle of the Gods and Beasts and dives into a stunning exploration of ancient false gods and their modern-day spiritual implications. Discover how Christ countered the dangerous idols of the Roman and Greek empires and how these revelations impact spiritual warfare today. The second CD examines the future two beasts rising, revealing how two demonically influenced men will fulfill key apocalyptic prophecies. The second two CD resource, Yahweh's Prophetic Clock, enters the much-debated subject of how God is counting prophetic time to establish the timing of the rapture. This teaching explains the mystery linked with the number 7 and the numerous other prophetic cycles and patterns. This eye-opening two-hour teaching provides one of the clearest explanations of God's prophetic calendar, offering fresh insights that will deepen your understanding. The third audio teaching, When Angels Show Up, includes two compelling messages. The first reveals the angelic covenant of protection, an essential understanding for navigating this dangerous season. The second message, How to Release Angels During Prophetic Seasons, teaches how to access heavenly messengers during times of increased demonic and angelic activities as prophecies are being fulfilled. This is an important revelation on angels. We are also including a bonus CD, The Chaos of the Rapture. Within 48 hours after the rapture, the chaos of Revelation 6 will be unleashed. Learn how millions of people missing and the atomic effect of the rapture and resurrection will send the world into darkness and complete confusion. This comprehensive teaching package includes three teachings, six CDs, plus the unique single CD on the chaos of the rapture, offering over 7 hours of prophetic teaching. For a limited time, you can receive this prophetic teaching package for a donation of $30 or more. Call us toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or order online at perrystone.org. Additionally, You can write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and enclose your gift of $30 or more to request CD package offer YP-147. This package is also available as a digital download on our website. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
One of my favorite subjects is angels, and we teach you here on how to release, how they're released during prophetic seasons, which is right now in the covenant of protection. This one is absolutely amazing. Yahweh's prophetic clock. What clock is God on? Everybody's trying to figure out when the Lord's going to return, when this is going to happen. But you've got to get the right clock that God's using, and calendar and all that. This is great. The battle of the gods and the beast. So what I did, I picked what I felt were the best teachings that we have put out recently. And if you don't have this entire combination, please get it with this live message, The Chaos of the Rapture. Why immediately after the rapture, chaos begins. On the bottom of the screen, you've been noticing that there's places that we're going to be coming to. The best thing to do is go to perrystone.org, look up itinerary, because we may be coming into your area at some point. Now, I slowed my schedule down to do more teaching here. We have our huge children's outreach that we're working on. It's a brand new outreach that the Lord spoke to us to do. You'll be hearing about that, of course, from time to time and as it develops. But thank you for joining me. Remember perrystone.org, Perrystone YouTube channel, and our social media. God bless you. We'll see you again.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.